Hello and welcome to the Picture House podcast. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by director Joachim Trier, the man behind The Worst Person in the World, which is opening in cinemas from Friday, this very Friday. Thanks for joining us today, Joachim. It must be quite busy for you at the moment, not just because of the UK release, but there's a little award ceremony coming up this weekend.
Yes. No, we're very, very happy about it. I'm in Los Angeles now and we're preparing for Oscar night this upcoming Sunday. We don't know how what's going to happen, but it's lovely to have two nominations, one for Best International and one for Original Screenplay. But I have to mention that I lived in the UK for a long time. I went to the National Film and TV School in Beaconsfield, where I had my director's education. So it matters a lot to me that my films are screened in the cinemas in the UK. I look forward to that, releasing these films in particular.
That's right. Well, we're thrilled to be able to play it. And yeah, I think the first one of your films I saw with my cinema hat on was Oslo August 31st. And yeah, it's always been exciting to see when you've had a new film out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. I guess I'm in a way going back. I mean, the first film I did, Reprise, is now 15 years ago, and this is now my fifth. So but I'm recalling it part of the Oslo trilogy, because we're looping back to Reprise in Oslo August 31st, like at least that environment. Then also Anders Danielsen Lee plays quite a big part in this one. So we're watching Oslo develop as a city, and also Anders aging a bit. He's now in his 40s, can you believe it? And wow. Here we are with another character that not only goes through joy, to say the least.
Oh, and so good as well. What an incredible actor.
I love him. No, it's always a joy having him on set. Even though this film is, I guess it's more comedic and romantic than anything I've done, it's great to see Anders stretch those muscles a bit as well.
Yeah, it must be fun to come with him with new challenges.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, as we're recording this ahead of the Oscars, and it's not just the Oscars, you know, Worst Person in the World has been featured at many major film festivals, many awards ceremonies. I think in the UK, it might be one of the last major territories to open the film. So we're all gagging for it. We're so excited to see this film. But what's it been like sort of riding this wave of, I guess, showing it to various pockets of people before we get to this point today?
No, it's been really wonderful. The pleasant surprise in the middle of everyone being so nervous about cinemas and the pandemic and everything is we've done amazing numbers. Norway, France, now the US, Belgium, I mean, many territories where it's open, it's done really well. People are coming to see it on a big screen. And I care about that. I shoot on 35. I care about the shared experience of the cinema space, you know? The theatrical. So there we are. I'm excited about the UK release, and I'm hoping that people will enjoy it there as well. But so that's kind of not only about this one, that's an optimism I think we should share, is that some films are actually performing well. People are coming back to the theaters.
And it's not just, I think, from a cinema side of things, people are like, yeah, well, it's Spider-Man or James Bond. I'm like, yeah, they did really well. But actually, I think we're in a bit of a time where people are desperate to watch so many different types of movies at the cinema. Like, we've had great success recently with things like Drive My Car. We're still playing it after 5 months of the cinema.
Amazing.
You know, yeah. And I think it's because it's got that word of mouth. And I feel like with Worst Person, it's a film that you come out of talking about and wanting to tell your friends about, and, you know, arguing over some of the choices the characters make. Like, it's a real conversation starter, this film.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I for one grew up in the sort of in the cinema seat as a filmmaker. I make movies because I love watching movies as well. To go afterwards with friends or someone and talk about a film is part of the joy of it. Sometimes I go to the movies alone even, but then, you know, it's an event. It's when you ask someone, what did you do last night? Oh, I went to see a film. And, what did you see? I just stayed home and was looking at something. I mean, there's like an event in your life to go to the theater. So I like that.
Yeah, you remember where you were, who you saw it with, if you saw it with somebody, maybe what drink you bought on the way. And like, you remember all that stuff. I find if you're watching stuff on your sofa, it just blurs into one. Like, I think I watched a film last night. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not the same as, like, I went into town. I went to the cinema. Yeah. I booked an amazing
it's a social thing. Mile. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that.
With this film, like, what I was surprised by was just how, this is a very complex movie, and I went to see it, like our example there, with lots of friends, and we all interpreted the film differently. Like, we had, this is a great film to have a post-film discussion with, and which character you like the most and whose side you're on. But where did this start for you? Where did this story start for you?
It was interesting because I wanted to make something. I'm in my 40s now, and I've been through a few failed relationships and also some that have worked out better, I'm happy to say. I feel that I it was time to make a love story. And I remember reading, there's a British psychoanalyst and writer called Adam Phillips, who wrote a wonderful book called Missing Out, where he says, as a therapist, he's sitting there with so many clients or patients, what you want to call the people that go to a shrink, and say, and he realizes so much of their life is imagined. It's something that they never lived out. Maybe it's the idea that they'll be with the ex-partner again, or that I'm going to choose a different job after all. This is not me. I'm not this person. This life, I'm different. You know, like that, we all live this big sense of self, which is only imagined. But it actually, at the end of the day, is also part of who we are, who we've become, without it being lived out in reality. And I thought that to make a film about someone like Julie, who's such a dreamer and feels that at the beginning of the film, she has all the choices in the world, and it's almost difficult for her to figure out anything, like basic choices of what she wants to do and who she wants to be with. And then following that path of understanding that time is not infinite, and that we learn through loss, and some of those relationships we thought were only along the way relationships, not essential ones, are actually quite important to who we become. And anyway, so a lot of those themes interested us as we sat down, Eskil Fucht and me, again, for the fifth time in a room for a year to write something.
and I think a lot of people are getting this from the film. You sort of see bits of your own life in there, or relationships you might be able to relate to. And I think the one for me especially was the partner's parents, and seeing your partner's family, which happens quite early in your film. I think that resonates with a lot of people. Is that something from your own personal life, a similar experience?
I've had a few different families in law, or you know, like partners' parents. They're all very different, but I do think it's interesting to this. Particularly, we came up with this funny character of Julie's father that I think is really interesting. That male avoiding mechanism of not wanting to engage in anything with it that has to do with his daughter, yet pretending to be a dad. I mean, I think that I'm sometimes ashamed to be a man when I see people like that. I'm like, oh, come on, you know? And so there's sadness and humor in that, I think. And yeah, I care about characters. You know, I grew up watching gangster movies by Martin Scorsese and Coppola, and always thought that those were the best portrayals of all the small and seemingly unimportant characters. But at the end of it, they become the texture of the film. And we try to work a bit like that, to have a lot of side plots and characters that actually at the end of the day matter thematically, even though it's not there, they're not a part of the main story necessarily.
I think it adds this to this rich texture in your film, because it is a lived in world you're showing us, you know, and it's messy, and I love seeing that on screen often. I guess when things are, I don't know, maybe it's just what audiences want to see, but often films are stripped down to just two or three characters and that's it, and it feels like they live in a bubble. But this is a real, you know, you get a sense of a city in your film, and you really get a sense of a person who is going through life, living it, making mistakes, but also celebrating it, and it'll work out in the end, right?
No, exactly. I there aren't that many culturally specific films about this part of Oslo. So I feel responsible to kind of represent it a bit and try to show nuanced characters. I mean, the beautiful thing is, like, it's weird how something that we find specific in Norway actually translates quite well, it turns out, as I've traveled with the film. That what we want in movies is specificity. We want characters that we can understand, and then we'll kind of translate it intuitively to our own experience, even though they speak a different language. And I have to give credit to Netflix, which, you know, as a cineast and someone who goes to the theaters, I'm sometimes worrying that we'll only have that. But what they've done, which is wonderful, is they have actually raise the awareness that you could watch things with subtitles and that that's fine. And that you can, in America and the UK and places that that maybe hasn't embraced foreign language films that much, it's now happening to a bigger degree. And I'm obviously grateful for that.
Absolutely. I think, especially with the pandemic, these last 2 years, 18 months of people watching things at home on Netflix, it's sort of been a bit of a crash course of watching movies with subtitles. You know, it's okay. And like I say, you know, we're still playing Ryusuke Hamaguchi's movies at months after their release. And I don't know if that would have happened before Parasite, which was just before the pandemic, the Bong Joon-ho film.
Parasite has been very important. Yeah.
All of the stuff on Netflix and streaming, I feel like people are maybe a bit more open-minded. Also, people haven't been able to travel, and watching your film is like going to Oslo, you know, for a few hours.
Yeah, that's a good point. So nice I'm trying that to show a space, a place, a mood, you know. Yeah, no, that's, I grew up watching James Bond movies and loving, like, oh, we're on a tropical island. Oh, we're in Switzerland skiing. It's actually, for movies are a bit of like a journey of traveling as well. So if I can bring some people to Oslo and they can, a friend of mine, Mike Mills, a wonderful director, said, said about, oh, you've done another, he called it Osloneliness, like Oslo loneliness. He made it into a word. And I think that's kind of what my characters go through sometimes.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I think you should coin that phrase. If you release
I did. I said, Mike, you're always a smart man. I'll steal that from you.
We had Mike on this very show a few months ago for his
film. Oh, really? I love Come On, Come On. I think that's a great, great film. Very, yeah, it's a film about America. It's a film about human beings and relationships. And, you know, it's a wonderful film.
I think I've been sort of following the press trail on Worst Person because I'm a bit of a nerd. I live on social media. You've got some amazing fans out there in the States. I saw Nancy Myers, you know, one of my favorite directors, has been championing the film. What's it like when filmmakers reach out to you and like the Nancy Myers experience and say, you know, I loved really, your film?
Nancy has been such a support, and she's sort of the master of the modern romantic formula, you know, a romantic comedy formula, and also Richard Curtis and Cameron Crowe and Judd Apatow, and you know, people that I admire have championed the film, and it's actually, I think it's one of the nicest things that has happened. And also Paul Thomas Anderson, my hero, I love him. I think he's a great, great filmmaker, and I love Licorice Pizza. His new film is marvelous, you know, it's up for many Academy Awards. So, you know, like, it's just nice that people are generous, even though they're, you know, they're even promoting their own films, and in the middle of that, they have time for this. So I'm, and many others. I know Paul Schrader has really written some wonderful things. And, you know, people I really admire. To be honest with you, we come to movies to be a part of something, like a film family. A sense, it sounds trite, but it's actually true. I feel less lonely when I watch movies from other places, and I feel that I can relate to people from other places. And when those filmmakers reach out and think that I've made sense in my film, that means the world to me, or to us, the team. I mean, we're a group of people working here in, you know, doing films in Norway, and I know that we've all been very proud about that.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think film is it's a good leveler, isn't it? It brings people together. Everyone has a good experience from it. And yeah, God, that's an incredible list of fans.
I mean, you can dream. And even Barack Obama put us on the list. So what can you do? I mean, it won't get better than this.
Oh, and this is before the Academy Awards as well. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? I mean, the thing is, we'll see what happens on Sunday. Just be nominated is great. I'm going to continue to make films. And, you know, I'm sure if some other brilliant filmmaker gets up there, I'm going to be okay about it. It's cool, you know.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. A huge congratulations on the film, and I'm excited for you for the weekend. You know, fingers and toes crossed but I'm also, you know, I'm just as excited to actually get this film in UK cinemas on Friday, where it needs to be seen. And you know, the people who are listening to this can come to their local picture house and watch it with a like-minded crowd. It sounds fantastic.
Great, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your time, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks.